Welcome to Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, we'll hear Jack Benny on air in one of his later broadcasts. But right now, a man more synonymous with TV, but actually cut his teeth on radio. With characters like Deadeye the Cowboy and the Mean Whittle Kid, who we'll hear next in this May 21st, 1946 broadcast on NBC. It's the Red Skelton Show.
Red Skelton with David Forrester and his orchestra, our singing star Anita Ellis, Gigi Pearson, Verna Felton, Pat McGeehan, and yours truly, Rod O'Connor. It's a pleasure to bring you Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's popular player and Red Skelton.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody thinks it's a hog calling contest over here. Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Rod, what's new with you?
Oh, nothing much, Red. I've been reading a book entitled Advancement of Science by Farnsworth Aislop.
Oh, you mean Jimmy Starr's little boy, huh?
Uh-huh.
Any good?
Oh, yes. Say, did you know, scientifically speaking, that love is merely an increase in blood pressure and pulse rate? You can get the same effect by touching your toes 10 times?
Oh, come now. Surely you've left something out.
And you know, until I read that book, I never realized how amazing mechanical inventions are.
Oh?
Take my electric toaster, for instance.
Oh?
Or take my record changer. Or take my typewriter.
You got any white shirts? I'll have to go get my truck. I can't just haul them away, you know?
You know, the two greatest scientific advancements are plastic surgery and television.
Oh, well, they go hand in hand. You know, when television gets in, I'm going to need plastic surgery.
Well, I won't need plastic surgery.
You'll need a girdle. Either that or they have to show you in sections. I can just hear a program coming on now and saying, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We now present Rod O'Connor in 10 episodes. See, I couldn't get it all in myself. Hey, I wonder how far off television really is.
Well, Red, in less than 3 years, your face will be in everybody's living room.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the dirtiest tricks science has done. You know, television's going to be wonderful. Not only will you be able to see the man in the street broadcast, but you're going to see him killed by a hit-and-run driver.
Well, you know, some people believe television sets will have coin slots on them.
No?
You pay to see a program, you know. Remember the jukebox?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be something, isn't it? You drop a quarter in a slot, you'll get Bob Hope. You drop 50 cents, you get Alan Young. 75 cents, you get Fred Allen. Dollar, you get Red Skelton. And 95 cents change.
You know, they're also working on an invention where you can drop a dime in a slot and get a sample of the product you're listening to.
Oh, well, now that's really going to save a lot of people from running down to the corner drugstore in their pajamas, you know. They always say, get that tonight, you know. Can you imagine being listening to some face cream program, see, and you drop a dime in the slot, and Lord Esther's wife let you have it right in the kitchen. Now, Anita Ellis sings More Than You Know.
More than you know, more than you know, man of my heart, I love you so. Lately I find you're on my mind. can do about it. Loving may be all you can give, but darling, I can't live without it.
Skelton scrapbook of satire to a story entitled It Pays to Look Well. Our characters are fictional. If there's any similarity to persons living, living conditions ain't too good, are they? Chapter 134 is entitled The Cowboy and the Tailor. This is the story of Deadeye, who finds that clothes don't make the man.
Boy, I wish I had a horse like yours, McGregor. Old Sardo here, eh, is pretty hard to handle.
Well, I'll tell you, Deadeye, maybe that big saddle bothers him.
What big saddle? I'm riding him bareback. Ooh!
Well, maybe he's hard of hearing.
Ooh!
Shoot your gun beside his ear. He should hear that.
Did you say beside it or in it? Oh, he's all right. That bullet's like everything else with him. In one ear and right out the other. Let's tie him up over here in the shade, huh?
Well, the old town looks the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you playing?
Now, you ought to know me better than that. Women. W-E-M-N. Women.
You don't look very presentable to be talking to women. Look at your shirt. It's all dirty and your spats is ragged.
What spats? Oh, them darn long underwear. They slipped again. I look pretty bad, don't I, huh?
You look like B.O. Plenty's eyebrows. Before he combs them out.
Yeah? You should have said John L. had been more striking, you know. Look that bad, huh?
Hey!
I'm proud of that. That ain't it.
Why don't you go across to Dominic the tailor and get rigged up in a new outfit?
Okay, let's go. You know, I ain't felt like dressing up since my gal Ida Soderstorm ran away with old Jim Harkin.
Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen, to coin a phrase.
Howdy. I like to get spruced up a little.
What do you got in mind?
Women, but I gotta get some new clothes first. I want something that'll fit my personality.
Well, sorry, I have nothing but poison ivy.
Well, I'm sorry you said that.
Now, Deadeye, put your guns away.
Oh, they're a little heavy. I want to empty some of the lead out of them.
Now, look, don't be like that.
Oh, come on, one little bullet. I want to see if I can deflate that big balloon.
Just a little joke, old man. No offense.
Oh?
Now, here, would you be so kind as to remove some of your clothes so I can take your measurements?
Okay, I'll take my guns off first. I was in field artillery.
Nice gun.
Had a little trouble getting the wheels off, though. Well, now I'll take off my Mackinaw. Now my Macintosh. Now my fur vest. Now my short skin vest. Now my wool vest. Well, I'll be.
What's wrong, did
I? You know that windbreaker I shot a guy for stealing a year ago?
Yeah.
It just came to it. Okay, take my measurements.
Now, let's see. Shoulder, 29.
Yes.
Waist, 52. Chest, 25.
Chest, 25. Now, wait till I expand it, will you?
That's more like it. 25 and a half. Right arm, 35. Left arm, 21.
Left arm, 21. How did that happen?
Well, me and my wife have twin beds, and she likes to sleep holding hands. Oh, McGregor. Duck over to old Mac Davis's place and see if Gladys is there.
All right, Deadeye. I'll be back quicker than it takes you to say Lumen Avenue.
Yeah.
You know, the name Deadeye sounds familiar to me.
Just me, too.
Shot a man, didn't you?
Yep, but it was an accident. Fellow opened his hotel window and yelled fire. And I did. Where'd you hear about me?
All around.
Mm-hmm.
Say, here's something you need, a kerchief scarf.
I don't care for that.
Look better in that tie you're wearing made of rope.
That ain't no rope necktie. I just escaped a hanging.
You mean they were going to hang you?
Yeah, hanging was too good for me. They were going to hang me. They weren't going to play yo-yo anyhow. Well, how about some pants, huh?
Oh, here's some. Would you like to try them on for size?
I sure would. Now, right leg. Now, the left leg. You got a needle and thread. I forgot to take my spurs off.
Hey, Deadeye.
Yeah?
Gladys wasn't there, but look who I ran into.
Howdy, howdy, Deadeye.
Well, but... If it ain't my old gal, Idy. He ain't changed a bit, Idy.
Well, you neither. You're just as bow-legged as ever.
Oh, I ain't so bow-legged.
Oh, no? Well, then how come you're standing on both sides of me?
How have you been, Idy? Happy? What's been happening to you, huh?
Well, that two-timing Jim Hawkins was a-going to marry me, but something stood in his way.
What was it, gal?
A wife and four kids. He cheated me like he cheated you.
Well, I don't remember him promising to marry me.
No, but you remember the poker game he got you into.
Yeah?
Well, he cheated you out of your cattle, and them poker cards was marked.
With a hot poker, too. You don't happen to know what happened to old Jim, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear he's the head of a black market and lumber gang, but is running a clothing store to make folks think he's an honest citizen.
Now, you don't mean to tell me that the gent that's waiting on me is old Jim Hawkins. Stand behind me, gal.
Don't move, Deadeye. I've got my .45 pointed right at your head.
Better stand in front of me, gal.
Well, Jim, looks like things are going to happen just like I said.
Oh, shut up. No cheap dance hall gal's going to make a chump out of me.
Deadeye, did you hear what he called me? Me a lady? A cheap dance hall gal.
Yeah, I heard him.
Well, are you going to let him get away with it?
Yep.
Hey, now look here. It's none of my business, but why don't you two go outside and shoot it out like real Western gentlemen?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I remember Deadeye and his 1-2-3 stuff and how he shoots on two.
Well, then maybe we could figure out a new idea.
Yeah, fight a duel. Stand back to back. Walk 10 steps apart, then turn and blaze away.
Okay.
Now, he ought to know better than that. Well, let's go. Come on, boys.
All right, back to back. Draw your guns. Now start walking. Hey, Deadeye, stop following him.
I'm sorry, I hadn't noticed.
Now start all over.
Okay.
Start walking. 10 steps, then turn.
Okay. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. That's what he gets for not doing his homework.
David Forrester and his orchestra play One More Tomorrow. Chapter 135 is entitled Home Tailoring. The finest tailoring in the world is done by the mothers and the grandmothers at home. Of course, it's no surprise that the mean little kid gets a cut-down suit.
Jumpy, jumpy, dump, jumpy, dump. Oh, boy, you can't tell me. Hey, Grandma! Grandpa's gone. Can I take me cowbell off now?
Yes, dear.
Boy, oh, Maria, feel good to get that cowbell off. Hey, Grandma, why does I have to wear a cowbell when Grandpa's home?
Because we like to talk freely, and you know too much already.
Oh, I don't. Can I run down to the candy store and get me a jawbreaker?
Hmm? No, dear. Grandma doesn't have a penny to give you.
Well, I'm in the chips tonight, boy. Look, 50 cents. Look.
Where'd you get that?
It's one you didn't find when you went through Grandpa's pockets last night.
Now, Junior, I don't go through your grandfather's pockets when he's asleep.
No, you better be careful, that's all. Grandpa said he's going to put a mouse trap in him. Hey, Grandma, what you got your finger bandaged up for, hmm?
You stop asking silly questions.
Did you get your little finger caught in a little mouse trap?
No, Junior. It was a big mouse trap.
Oh, well, looks like Grandpa took me suggestion after all, huh? I told him he'd get better results if he used a gopher trap.
But I still don't see how I missed that half dollar.
Well, it wasn't in the suit you was ramshacking, see?
Oh.
It was one hanging in the closet, and I looked at how black the fire made it. Look, look.
What fire?
Well, now, don't get excited. I'm going to tell you about it. You see, there was a hole in his pocket, and it fell through into the seam. See, so I had to burn up the suit and scrape the ashes for the half a dollar.
You're kidding me.
You just keep laughing, kiddo, that's all.
I ought to spank you until you can't walk.
Oh, yeah? Well, you going to spank me till I can't walk? What are you going to do, spank me feet? I knew someday she'd realize she's wearing me body out.
Oh, Junior, you're bad.
No.
I was going to take those old suits and make me something to wear.
Well, the coat is still good.
But I needed the pants to make the skirt.
Oh.
Oh, well, maybe I can make you a suit out of the coat.
Oh, now that's nice.
But go get my sewing basket.
Okay, I can look at the sewing basket. Here it is. Can I borrow the scissors? I want to cut this picture of George Washington off of this green piece of paper here.
No! Put them down.
What?
What do you want to do, fall on those sharp points and dull them?
Well, boy, it sure does love me, don't it?
Now, Junior, run upstairs and get your blue pants.
Okay.
I'll cut the pattern from them out of this wrapping paper.
Well, I'm not going to wear paper pants. Goodness, I'm not a lamb chop, you know.
Junior, who said anything about paper
Goodness,
pants?
Well, you're going to make paper pants. You might as well cut two holes in a shopping bag and put me in there, you know. Put me arm through the handles. Let me walk around.
Stop acting silly and run upstairs and get those pants.
Okay, I will get them. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. Now, let's see now. Where could them blue pants be? Grandma straightened out my closet and I can't find a thing now, you know. Oh, there it is. I'm going to hurry, but I could slide down the banister. It's quicker.
Junior, look out. You're going to knock that vase off.
Anybody know where I can get a cheap retread job?
Now, get off the banister.
Now, don't you hit me. Grandpa says that I could slide down the banister any time I wanted to.
Oh, your grandfather should be ashamed permitting you to do things that will hurt you.
So?
Oh, but then when he's sick, he doesn't know what he's doing.
I know how to cure his sickness.
How?
Don't spread this around.
No.
Shoot his bartender.
Yeah. Stop talking like that and come here.
Doctor,
I've got to see if this piece of material is big enough.
Yes.
Take off your pants.
Here? I won't do it. They're cold in here.
Well, then at least take the stuff out of your pocket.
Okay. You want me to empty my back pocket, too?
Here. Let me help you up on the chair.
No. Don't grab me under the arm. I'm tickling. Lift me up on my ears like a rabbit.
Stop talking like an idiot.
Well, I can't help it. It was inherited, you know.
Yes, and you know from which side of the family.
Yeah, I know. I know, all right. And Grandpa agrees with me, too.
If only you'd try to be intelligent just for once.
Well, I will if you'll buy me a dog.
Well,
a widow dog.
What kind of a dog do you want?
A widow black and white one.
No. I mean, what breed of dog?
He breeds through his nose, I guess. I want a mama dog,
Oh, no, you can't have one.
Right.
They always have fleas.
Well, the kind I want has puppies.
Now, just forget I said anything.
No.
There.
No. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to sit on the back of the chair until you is ready.
No, don't do that. It'll tip over with you.
Help me. I broke me with a skull.
Now, you didn't break your skull.
Yes, I did. Try to and broke me skull.
Oh, poor baby. He fell and hurt himself.
Yes, I hurt me skull.
He's scared.
I'm scared.
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, bless his little heart. Look, I put a dent in my head. Look.
Well, stop putting dents in your head. It's hard enough to get hats to fit you. Now, stand still and you won't get hurt.
Okay.
Oh, where is my needle?
No, here it is. Go ahead, now fret it.
Thank you.
Yeah, now fret it. Mm. What are you smelling it for?
I'm not smelling it. Dark in here, I can't see it.
Oh, I thought you were smelling it.
Junior, your fingers are smaller than mine.
Yes.
Pull the thread through the needle, will you?
Now, hold it down here. Hold it down. Where is it?
Don't look at it so close. You'll get cross-eyed.
Cross-eyed? Is that why I see two needles now?
Junior, stop that.
I'm not doing nothing.
Well, look at your eyes.
I can't. My nose is in the way.
Well, the only way to straighten them is to tap you on the back of the head.
Yes. Here. straighten them, don't knock them out.
Here.
Goodness.
Junior, now hold this goods around your waist while I sew it together.
You mean like that?
No, not under your chin.
Well, I like it that way. I like my pants lying in. I need eat. I don't need a napkin. Oh. Just check my pants and my collar like that.
Stand still.
Yes.
If I accidentally stick you with a pin, you listen to me.
Yeah, if you accidentally stick me, you will hear from me, you will.
There. Oh. Now, stand still while I trim the legs.
Oh, no, not me legs. Don't trim me legs. They're short enough now.
Not your legs, the pants legs.
No, boy, for a minute, I can see myself sitting on a Raleigh cigarette swinging me feet, you know.
There. Now, the other leg.
Yeah.
There. That's funny. They're longer in the back than they are in front.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have leaned over to watch you then.
Remember, we'll all be back with you next Tuesday at this same time. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening. And by the way, the policeman shows the 22nd and 23rd. I'll be there.
The Red Skelton program on Tuned to Yesterday from May 21st, 1946 on NBC. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's The Jack Benny Show, one of the later episodes in his radio run, on the air for 21 years at this point. We hear a May 31st, 1953 broadcast from CBS featuring Dennis Day, Don Wilson, Mel Blanc, Mary Livingston, and Eddie Rochester Anderson.
With Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio show is usually rehearsed on Saturday mornings. And after the rehearsal, it's customary for the cast to gather in the drugstore across the street for a light lunch. As our show opens, Dennis and I are just entering the drugstore.
Oh, we're the first ones here, Don.
Yes, Dennis. Jack and Bob Crosby had to stay to discuss the music.
I'm glad it's not too crowded here. We can get seats right away.
Yeah. Where'd you like to sit, Dennis? Table or at the counter?
Oh, the table. It's too dangerous sitting at the counter when you're eating with Mr. Benny.
What do you mean, dangerous?
When the check comes and he runs for the door, he always knocks me off the stool. Sit over here at this table.
Okay.
Should we order our lunch now or wait for the others?
Oh, I may as well wait.
Okay. Hope they come soon. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
That's what I had for breakfast.
Hey, here comes Bob Crosby.
Oh, Bob, here we are.
Oh, hi, fellas. Jack will be along in a minute.
I thought he was coming with you.
Oh, he was, but he had to go back to his dressing room. He forgot his hat.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What does he need his hat for?
His hair was in it.
We're over here.
Hi, kids. I didn't expect you to be at the table here. I thought you'd be sitting at the counter.
I'm still black and blue from the last time.
Sit down, Jack. I'll call the waitress.
No, let me call her, Don. I think she has a crush on me. Oh, miss? Miss?
What do you want, Mac?
We'd like to order. How about some menus?
We haven't got any.
Well, how do we know what to order?
It's tattooed on my arm.
Oh. When you rolled up your sleeve, I thought you were going to hit me. I'll tell you what. I'll have a roast beef sandwich and coffee.
I'll have the same.
I'll have a roast beef sandwich, too.
What do you want to drink?
An oyster malted milk.
An oyster malted milk?
Uh-huh.
Dennis, that is absolutely ridiculous, ordering an oyster malted milk.
You're right. This month hasn't got an R in it.
Look, miss, get him anything. Anything at all.
Okay, I'll bring him what he had yesterday.
What did he have yesterday?
Chicken soup.
Well, that sounds sensible.
With a lot of chicken in it?
Look, bring him anything.
Will that be all?
Oh, wait a minute. You haven't taken my order, miss.
Oh. What do you have, Titanic?
Well, I'm really not very hungry. Just bring me what I usually have.
I can't.
Why not?
The fellow who helps me carry it in is off today.
Well, then just bring me a ham sandwich and a Coke.
Okay.
Bob, what are the boys in the band going to do during their vacation?
Well, Charlie Bagby is going back east to his brother's farm, and Fletcher is taking an auto trip around the country, and my drummer Sammy is going to Leavenworth for 3 months.
Leavenworth prison?
Mm-hmm. You see, he's Willie Sutton's summer replacement.
Well, I'll be darned.
Say, Jack, why wasn't Mary at rehearsal today?
I don't know. She didn't call or anything. Toward the end of the season, everybody does what they want to.
Gee, I hope the waitress hurries with the order. I want to go to the hospital and see my mother and father.
Your mother and father are in the hospital, Dennis?
Yeah, they have to have an operation.
Dennis, they both need an operation at the same time?
Uh-huh. The doctors have to get her fist out of his mouth.
What?
Yeah, and it's all your fault.
My fault?
Last week I decided to quit your show and I was talking it over with my mother.
Well, how does your father fit into this?
He took your side.
Oh, and that was when your mother...
Yeah, for years she's been telling Papa, one of these days, and this time, pow, right in the kisser.
Dennis, I don't believe one word of it.
Here's your grub. Here's your 3 roast beef sandwiches. And here's your chicken soup.
Oh, boy, just the way I like it.
I'm glad. I'm glad. Where are you going, Bob?
Oh, there's a jukebox over here, Jack. I thought we might have some music while we eat.
Oh.
Let's see, what'll I play? Well, that song's his. That one is his, too. The next one. And the one after that. And the one after that also. Well, it looks like I'll just have to give my brother a nickel. Hey, look, they got one of Dennis Day's records, Blue Gardenia. Hey, Denny.
What?
They've got one of your records on this jukebox.
Well, don't just stand there. Play it.
Okay, I will.
To a passing breeze.
guess I gotta buy one of those records. Your voice really sounds great on it. I mean, don't get me wrong, kid. Your singing is always wonderful, but it sounded even better on that record.
Well, that's because that day I made it, I had an oyster malted milk.
Oh, quiet.
Well, everybody's finished. I'll get the check.
Oh, no, Bob. I'll take the check.
Well, Don, let me take it this time.
Bob, I really think I ought to pay the check today.
No, Don, I feel that I should.
Well, I feel I should.
Why are you so quiet, Dennis? You cheap or something? Huh?
Gee, I was just going to ask you the same thing.
Well, you fellas settle the check. I'm going home.
Me too.
Gee, it's a nice day. I think I'll walk home. There goes Jimmy Stewart in his Cadillac. Hey, there goes Mickey Rooney in his MG. And there's Humphrey Bogart in his Jaguar. Yeah. You ought to keep that thing on a leash. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to. Hey, look at that theater marquee. The new picture they just opened up. Fort Tye, starring George Montgomery. I wonder how many people know that George Montgomery's married to Dinah Shore. I found out when he slapped my face. Hey, wait a minute. This Fort Tye is one of those new three-dimensional pictures. Gee, I haven't seen a 3D movie yet. The show isn't too long. Maybe I got time. Well, there's the doorman standing in the theater lobby. He ought to know how long the picture is. I'll ask him. Excuse me, sir. How long is this show?
I don't know.
Well, are they showing a double feature today?
I don't know.
Well, tell me, in order to see this three-dimensional picture, do I have to wear Polaroid glasses?
I don't know.
You don't know anything. You're a fine doorman.
Who's a doorman? I'm in the picture.
Well, I'll see it later in the week. Gee, that 3D fascinates me. I think I'll...
Hello, Mr. Binney.
Why, Mr. Kitzel. Mr. Kitzel, I haven't seen you for a long time.
Likewise.
Let me look at you. Gosh, you look wonderful. Where'd you get that deep tan?
Well, this is from my new job. I'm a lifeguard by Santa Monica Beach.
A lifeguard? Say, that must be interesting work.
Yeah, especially watching the beautiful girls in their bathing suits.
Say, I understand the girls' bathing suits are skimpier than ever this year.
Definitely. In fact, yesterday I saw a bikini bathing suit on one girl who...
Who what?
Who.
You know, those girls in the bikini bathing suits must have everybody staring at them.
You say that all the men on the beach look like Eddie Cantor.
Oh, I see what you mean. Tell me, Mr. Kitzel, have you saved many people from drowning?
Dozens. In fact, this is how I first met my wife.
Oh, you rescued her?
Unfortunately.
Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
Joking, he says. I finally figured out that she really wasn't drowning. This was just a trick so she could meet me and I could marry her.
What makes you think she did a thing like that?
Who else goes swimming in a bridal gown?
No.
Yeah, she kept yelling, "Help, lifeguard, justice of the peace."
Well, look, Mr. Kitzel, I'm on my way home. Would you like to walk along with me?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but I'm on my lunch hour and I got to dash back to the beach.
Oh, well, goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Who's there?
Oh, it's me, Rochester. Were there any calls when I was gone?
Yeah, the phone was ringing all day. There were calls from Dorothy, Harriet, Hilda, Peggy, Ellen, Bonnie, Judy, Jeanette, Charlotte, Betty, and Mervyn.
Mervyn?
That one was for you.
Oh, yes, it must have been my friend, Mervyn LeRoy. You know, he just wrote a book called It Takes More Than Talent. And you know, Rochester, he's also a movie director. He's the one who directed Quo Vadis.
Quo Vadis?
Yeah, you know, I asked him for the lead in that picture, but he turned me down.
Why?
Well, he told me that in Latin, Quo Vadis means whither goest thou? And when I asked him for the part, he told me whither to goest. But he's still my friend. By the way, Rochester, did the mail come?
Yeah, but there wasn't much. Just a magazine.
Let's see. Oh, it's the new copy of Look. This article ought to be interesting. How President Eisenhower Can Play Golf in the 80s by Ben Hogan. You know, Rochester, that Hogan is a great pro. I played with him once, and he showed me how to take 9 strokes off my game.
How?
He told me to cut out one hole. A par 3 yet. Well, I think I'll go in the den and read it.
Mr. Benny, aren't you going to listen to the Indianapolis auto race? It's on the radio now.
Oh, gee, I'm glad you reminded me. I'll read this later. Gee, I hope I can still hear the race. It's usually so exciting. I wonder what station it's on.
Well, congratulations, Mrs. Smith. You win the jackpot, and for your prizes, you get 3 dresses complete with shoes and matching handbag, a corsage of orchids, a complete set of silverware, a set of cooking utensils, a bridge table and chairs.
That wasn't the station.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our special guests tonight, we have the Sportsman Quartet. As you all know, this famous quartet appears every week on the Jack Benny Show. That's why they're taking outside work.
I pay them good money.
As their selection tonight, they will sing Side by Side.
Gee, I gotta listen to this.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel along singing a song, side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow, but we'll travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. When they've all had their quarrels and parted, we'll be the same as we started, just traveling along, singing a song, side by side.
That was good, but that's not the station the races are on. I'll try this one here.
A double oven gas range, your home painted inside and out, a 21-inch television set, electric blankets for every bed in your house, a 2-week vacation in Hawaii.
Oh, that's not it. Now, let's see. Where's that race? I'll try this station here.
Rain tender, happy when you're blue. It is a
very
hard to do.
Oh, no. Station either. Maybe I passed it back here somewhere.
And that concludes today's exciting episode. Will Frank marry Elizabeth? Is Elizabeth still in love with Harry? Will Harry divorce Evelyn? Will Evelyn remarry her first husband, Stephen? Does Stephen know his wife is in love with Frank, who may marry Elizabeth? Tune in tomorrow to hear another chapter of The Crazy Mixed Up Bunch of Kids.
Why can't I get the right station here?
Senor, senor, is it Senorita?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
This is Station X, why, you know, your musical Mexican station. Today is our pleasure to present some music from our sister country, the United States. And here is the most popular song in America today. Sing it, Pedro. Peppermint pen, she's leaf roll. Buy a peppermint pen.
Why can't I get the races? Rochester, answer the phone, will you, please, while I try to get the races.
Yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage, radio, and television.
Rochester, you forgot about movies.
They forgot about him.
What?
They told him whither to goest.
Well, that I don't understand at all.
I'll get Mr. Benny for you, Miss Livingston.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Benny, it's for thou.
Stop. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Mary.
Well, it's nice of you to call. You know, you missed rehearsal.
Yes, Jack, but I wasn't feeling well, so I went to the doctor.
Gee, I didn't know that. Is there anything wrong?
Well, the doctor isn't too sure, but he says I may have to have my appendix out.
Gosh.
And, Jack, the reason I'm calling is because an appendix operation is kind of expensive, and I thought you could help me.
Mary, you mean... You want me to...
Why not? You took your own out.
That was an emergency. You know, Mary, I have a hunch you made this whole thing up just because you missed rehearsal.
Well, you're right, Jack. The reason I missed is because my family's here from Plainfield, and I was showing them the town.
Oh.
And I thought you would help me out. You know, they want to take a tour through a movie studio, and you might have a pull with one of them.
Well, let's see. There's 20th Century Fox, MGM, Paramount, Warner Brothers.
Keep thinking, Jack. There must be one you didn't make a picture for.
Look, Mary, I'm trying to help you. I'll see if I can do something about getting your folks into a studio. Is your sister Babe going to be with them, too?
Oh, Babe isn't here. She stayed in Plainfield.
How come?
Well, Mom and Pop only had enough money for 2 bus tickets, so Babe decided to hitchhike.
Oh, did she get any rides?
No, she went on the highway and she tried everything. She even pulled up her skirt and showed her legs.
What happened?
2 men tried to run her over.
No.
Anyway, Jack, I'm sorry. I missed rehearsal. It won't happen again.
Okay, I'll try to fix it for your folks to go through a studio.
Thanks, bye.
Goodbye. Now, where did Rochester... Oh, I'll try to get the races again. Oh, no, you don't.
A 12-carat diamond ring, an ankle-length chinchilla coat, a pearl necklace, a brand-new convertible, a swimming pool installed in your yard.
Why can't I get the races?
And here come the cars down the stretch for the 14th lap.
That's it. That's it. I got it.
The 3 leaders are now coming past the grandstand.
Gee, they're going fast.
Now, let me give you the speeds the leaders are averaging. The Agajanian, 127.39 miles per hour. The Ferrari Deluxe, 127.38. And the Hudson Special, 127.40. This is excellent time for the Hudson when you consider its driver stepped down too far and is dragging his feet.
Well, how do you like that?
And here come the next 4 cars.
God, what a race.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue.
What is this?
It isn't very
I just have 2 stations at once. What kind of a station? There's something wrong with my radio. What's going on? I'm not going to listen to this. I'm going to a movie. and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Jack Benny is a regular feature of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Jack Benny Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the last day of May 1953 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of some great comedians from radio's yesteryear on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.